is an extract from the Nature podcast. For the full show, go to nature.com/nature/podcast.
Over the past few weeks, there have been some rumblings in the press of an economic downturn and potentially even another global recession in the not-too-distant future. This week, Nature has a feature article looking at the effects that times like these have on public health. In particular, the article looks at the effects of the Great Depression of the 1930s and the Great Recession, which began in the late 2000s. It makes sense that these downturns would be pretty bad for a population's health, but that may not be the whole story, as Lynn Peoples, the feature's author, explains.
It's a mixed bag. So obviously, intuitively, you might guess that economic crashes would result in some health harms to at least individuals in the population that are directly impacted. Some researchers have found that losing a job actually increases the odds of developing conditions such as hypertension, arthritis, diabetes. And mental health problems are certainly the one health consequence that's been very consistent in the literature. Certainly, suicide rates have generally risen during times of recession. And then there's some, you know, less obvious impacts, a little less direct. For example, in California during the Great Recession, when there was a foreclosure crisis, there was actually an uptick in West Nile virus because these swimming pools in backyards of California homes were left abandoned, and mosquitoes, that's where they breed, in stagnant water. So there, yes, kind of a whole range of ways in which an economic downturn could harm the public health.
I mean, quite far-ranging there then, and obviously serious for a lot of people. But perversely, if you zoom out to maybe a population level, there can actually be some positive health trends. And this is something that was noticed way back in the 1920s.
Right. Yeah. Going back to before the Great Depression, scholars who looked at, you know, how did death rates respond to the economic crashes of the time, they were surprised to find that death rates actually dropped, which obviously is pretty counterintuitive. And those findings were largely forgotten. And it wasn't until maybe 20 years ago that researchers really started looking more closely at the data, and indeed, those patterns continue. That same surprising result that death rates actually do drop generally, population-wide, when the economy crashes.
Well, that does sound quite counterintuitive, but do we have any reason why this might be?
One, there might be fewer work accidents, fewer people on the job, and those that are on the job perhaps are more highly skilled. And along with that, if there are fewer people working or fewer people with the money to take leisure vacations, there might be fewer vehicles on the road. That would translate to fewer car accidents. Also, if you're working less, you might argue that there's less work stress. You might also have less free money to spend on beer or cigarettes.
And what I will say there, Lynn, is I think you said may and might a few times. Is there the risk of focusing on correlation rather than causation? Have there been any studies that show a direct X to Y relationship?
There have. Certainly, scholars are hesitant to be concrete about these links, but there are studies that have found that air quality does increase when the economy falls. And we know that air quality is linked with cardiovascular disease, asthma, infant mortality. There have been studies that have shown that there are fewer work accidents during recessions. With more data, we're getting better and better at finding some of those true causations.
I mean, do you think that large population level effects risk masking the effects on individuals?
Absolutely. This is one of the key points that comes out right now and that researchers are emphasizing, is that if we are just looking at the overall population impacts, you know, that slight drop in the death rate, that there are segments of the population that are obviously getting harmed. Their health is suffering, and that can get lost.
There are rumblings in the press about, you know, potential recessions and what have you, as certainly in Europe here, it's been in the news a little bit recently. I mean, we've got this data now from the 1920s through to now, and obviously we have a wealth of public health data. What can we learn about where to maybe invest our money or our public health responses to try and help people the best when an economic crash does happen?
Looking at how money has been spent or not spent in past downturns can yield a lot of information. For example, in the aftermath of the Great Recession, countries such as Sweden, Finland, Malaysia, they seem to generally escape a lot of the consequences that were seen elsewhere by investing in retraining workers, maintaining other social safety nets, other public health policies.
Well, the phrase, those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it, seems kind of apt here. If this next recession does happen, and hopefully it won't affect too many people too drastically, but if it is to happen, do you think enough lessons have been learned to negate its effects?
It's hard to say at this point, but we can certainly hope that with decades now of experience in the ups and downs of the economic cycles and more attention being paid, especially over the last couple decades, to these patterns, that policymakers have been paying attention and may glean some lessons from the past and implement potentially more effective responses in the future.